Mini episode 316 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the FDH Lounge. This is Rick Morris and Kyle Ross talking NFL with you, week four specifically. This is FDH Lounge mini episode number 316. And to paraphrase a famous pro grappler, 316 means we just got our asses kicked, as we've been doing throughout the course of the season. Myself, way more than Kyle, but I know neither one of us is off to the start that we want. Going to turn it around this week, my friend.
I certainly hope so. I'll tell you what, last week was one of those weeks you read kind of on Monday about how the books did, and you realize why Las Vegas has so many nice hotels on the Strip. It was not a pleasant week for the betting public. It was not a pleasant week for me, a rare 0-for-2. I kind of just wanted to go with a bit of a mea culpa because it's really shame on me. You know, a lot of people want to blame the players and stuff like that, but it was shame on me with both picks, kind of in retrospect, it's easy to say that. But it's certain with San Francisco and Indianapolis, there were so many kind of weird factors going on into that game. I should have known better. And just laid off. I mean, obviously with the Alvin Smith arrest and the Richardson trade, it was just something funny was in the air. I mean, although I still think at the end of the year you won't see a more shocking result than what happened with Indianapolis going in there winning 27-7. And then Pittsburgh, and me taking them and holding in Chicago, I should have known better. It was a classic mistake in that 2 weeks ago, as you know, I went against the Steelers on Monday night. They lost to the Bengals. And I basically disregarded everything I said leading up to that game in taking them last week against a team that had beaten the Bengals in week one. So it was maybe me feeling my oats a little bit too much after a 3-1 week two. But I'm back and ready to go with a lot of ugly teams this week, Ricky. As you know, every team's going to win one probably. So now it's I think now we've got a large enough sample size. We're starting to know who these teams are, but there's still a little bit of regression to the mean in order. And that's what I'm hopefully banking on here in week four, because a lot of the teams I'm going with are kind of ugly picks, I think.
We may agree on a fair number of these then. That may very well be the case. Speaking of ugly, my picks from last week, my overall picks, as bad as they were actually the cream of the relative crop for me. 6-8-2 overall, 0-3 on my big three, 0-1 overall. The worst stretch I've ever had, or 0-1 on my lock, I should say. The worst stretch I've ever had. I'm off to an 0-9 start in my big three, and by definition, 0-3 on my locks. Of course, it would come at the beginning of the season. I've been doing this for about 10 years now, never had a run like this. I'm pretty embarrassed myself, but, you know, onward and upward. That's the only way to turn this thing around is to have some strong weeks following that. At least I'm in very good company, both with you with a lot of other great gamblers out there that have just really been suffering through an early part of the season. You, of course, doing better than me, but that's to be expected. We've got Green Bay and Carolina on the bye this week. Thursday night game, again, you're not going to hear what we're talking about in time, but you'll get to measure our brief notes against what actually went down. It is San Francisco coming off the shocker on Sunday at St. Louis. The line on this one has been pretty much a steady 3.5 all week. San Francisco having their problems with the Rams last year. Nevertheless, under the circumstances, even without Alden Smith, I like him to bounce back tonight, Kyle.
Road favorite Ricky, huh? Favorite Ricky right off the bat. I'll say this. The Rams are the sharp side here, getting three, if you can get them at 3.5. But I'm not playing this game because, you know, we've got the 49ers for the first time ever under Harbaugh off back-to-back losses. It's got to be desperation time. And you talked about the Rams' success last year against the 49ers. The Rams were 4-1-1 against the NFC West. Of course, they tied the 49ers in one of the two games last year, 6-0 against the spread. That usually indicates there'll be regression in division games the following year, those kind of records. Sure enough, they needed to come back just to beat Arizona in week one. They didn't cover that game at home. And they looked pretty bad the last 2 weeks. you know, Dallas whipped them badly last week. I think the Rams had 18 total yards in the first half. The week before against Atlanta, it really wasn't as close as the final indicated. So I'm staying off this game because the sharp side's clearly St. Louis, but it's a desperate 49ers team. And I just don't really like the Rams as much as most people. So, you know, it's good that people won't hear it in time because I don't really like it.
Just as well. We'll open with the so-called Battle of Ohio. Cincinnati coming to Cleveland. They are laying 4.5 in this one, down from 5 initially. And, again, a long rant that we had last week on the show specifically devoted to the state of this Cleveland Browns franchise. They come out and shock us on Sunday, me even more than you, because it was my lock pick for Minnesota to bury them. I obviously underestimated how bad the Vikings were. More on that later. But as far as this one goes here, Brian Hoyer will still be in a quarterback for the Browns, and it just strikes me they may be able to hold it to the kind of field goal battle that they could stay in long enough. The funny thing is USA Today Sports Weekly predicting 20-16 for the Browns. I don't think the Browns are going to win outright, but 20-16 Bengals probably sounds about right. That means the Browns just slip right under the number. So I would say take the Brownies and the points at home.
You know, it was kind of a circle of wagons type game, clearly, for Cleveland last week. Minnesota, you're right, their secondary is atrocious. It's funny, and we'll talk more about Minnesota later, as you mentioned, but the narrative is that all, and, you know, I agree with it to a large extent, that it's all Christian Ponder's fault why they can't break through, but that secondary was terrible against Cleveland. Cleveland's running into a much tougher opponent this week in Cincinnati. The sharp side is Cleveland, Ricky, so I like what side you're on, but I can't get involved in this game. The Bengals are a much better team. I mean, beating Green Bay in spite of 6 turnovers last week, no small order. This one will come close to the number, I believe, but the luck kind of runs out with Cleveland. I think they realize that they're a pretty bad – they re-realize, I should say, that they're a pretty bad team. As for that final score, I'll say this. Cincinnati 7-0 under the last 2 years when coming off back-to-back wins. So it could be a defensive affair. Cleveland, you know, all kidding aside, does have a good defense, and obviously Cincinnati does too. I know they gave up 30 points last week, but that was Aaron Rodgers. This is Brian Hoyer.
Well, the Browns, as we've said previously, a very good front seven, a secondary that is patchy at best because you have at least a borderline Pro Bowl cornerback in Joe Hayden. Buster Screen blows. T.J. Ward is fine when he's healthy, but the other secondary spot is kind of a toss-up. So, yeah, the secondary leaves them, and there's no depth beyond that. I mean, if they had any depth, Buster Screen would be back in the CFL where he belongs. But, yeah, it's going to be very, very interesting to see how that plays out. We talked about Minnesota being an absolutely abominable football team. The team that sets the standard for that in today's NFL, your Jacksonville Jaguars, they're at home. Sunday, they are playing division, quote-unquote, rival Indianapolis, if you want to call them that. The Colts are laying 9.5 on the road here. It has been about that same number, give or take, the entire week. And having just buried Jacksonville the way that I am, I'm going to follow it up with this, and that is that, Indianapolis, being if you see where I'm going with this, they're a team that has been thrown
–
they're having some turnover issues here and there, more so going back into last year, but they're still kind of making their adjustments in this offense. As great of a year as Andrew Luck had, as everybody points out, there were a fair number of turnovers, largely because they trust him to be aggressive in that offense. Looking at this here, I think Jacksonville can slip underneath the number. They're due for it, and it's a classic sandwich game for the Colts. The huge franchise-defining win at San Francisco last week, setting up this new era of the Colts. And next week, Seattle, a team that may be the front runner right now to be the NFC champions. In between, you have Jacksonville. It's got a letdown written all over it. I take the Jags not to win, but to slide under the 9.5.
I love where your head's at. You know, were it not Jacksonville, this would have been a recommended play. I definitely agree with everything you said. You know, 3 of Blaine Gabbert's 5 career wins are against the Colts. Now, 2 of those came in the non-Manning, non-Luck year of 2011, which, you know, all Colts fans really are quick to forget. So, but at the same time, I completely agree with everything you said. It's a lot of points to be getting at home. Jacksonville, I know no one wants to touch him, but, you know, it's funny with the sharps, that kind of makes them more attractive, 9.5 points is a lot to get at home, especially against the Colts team that last year only had two wins by more than 7 points. So I know last week was impressive. It shocked me. They got the running game going. It ironically wasn't Richardson. It was Bradshaw. But I'm with you. I think Jacksonville stays within the number here. I mean, they've got to show some sign of life here, you know, kind of on the fourth try. It's been a pretty ugly first 3 weeks. And it can't be worse than last week having to go to Seattle. So I agree. Take the points of Jacksonville here. Would have been a recommended play. You know, made my big recommended plays had it not been the Jaguars, who burned me in week two against Oakland.
Definitely. We go from the ugly pile special in that game to one of the games that I had highlighted prior to the season at the FDH Lounge Multimedia Magazine as far as the top games of the year potentially in the NFL, still potentially a Super Bowl matchup. And I am shocked that Fox is putting, I think, like their number four broadcast team, number four at best, actually, of Chris Myers, Tim Ryan, Jennifer Hale on this one. It seems like my boy Kenny Albert, at the very minimum, should be on this one. Seattle at Houston. This is going to be a big one. Seattle is laying 3 on the road. The number is pretty much held steady throughout the week. Seahawks looking like the number one team in the league, as you and I have said, Kyle. Houston at this point looking like they would be a little bit hard-pressed to hold up their end of the bargain in the AFC. Still 2-1, notwithstanding a rough start. You talk about circle the wagons games, though. If any 2-1 team ever had one, playing a Super Bowl favorite here, having a lot to prove, it's Houston in this spot. And I'm going to go with them only because I picked them to come out of the AFC before the season. I'm not completely ready to bail on that pick yet. If Houston is who I think they are, they're going to find a way to get this one done. Houston getting the 3 at home is my pick.
They're 0-3 against the spread, and they're a home dog. They're the sharp side, Houston. I love where your head's at. A couple trends back to Texans here, too. They're 6-0 against the number at home off a straight-up loss. Seattle, just a terrible 3-18 against the spread off a home win by 21 points or more. So the trends and the sharps will definitely tell that Houston to play here. I can't get involved because I just can't go against Seattle, how good they've looked through the first 3 weeks. I'll say this, though, more ammunition for Houston. They actually outgained Baltimore last week, only giving up 236 yards in the process. Houston's offense didn't show up in the second half, but that game swung on a pair of non-offensive touchdowns, Ricky. I don't know if you got to see too much of the game, but I was watching it, and there was two non-offensive touchdowns near the end of the half for Baltimore that broke that game wide open. The Ravens had been doing nothing offensively in the first half, and they wound up winning by 3 touchdowns, and those two non-offensive scores were huge. So, Houston could have a circle of wagons game. They're due to cover. Seattle's due to not cover, 3-0 straight up and against the number, and they're, of course, playing in the Eastern time zone where they are certainly less reliable. So I agree with you, but it doesn't get my recommendation.
No question about that. As far as all of the different elements that you mentioned pointing towards Houston, I have to believe if they found a way to win last week, if they both came into this game 3-0, maybe Fox would be giving this game a little bit more respect. As it is, the team that's, I believe, the number 3 broadcast team is on this next game, and it, to me, is nowhere near as attractive of a matchup, albeit still a pretty good one. Tom Brenneman, Brian Dolick, and the lovely Tan Laura Oakman on Chicago at Detroit. This is going to be a very interesting one. Another matchup of a 3-0 team on the road coming in to face the 2-1 home team. In this instance, the home team is favored. Lions laying 2.5. It's been pretty much steady at that throughout the course of the week. And looking at it again, the Lions really surprised me last week. I didn't think they could win at Washington, and they did. So they've already kind of upended my expectations for them in the last week or so. Going by what you've said, though, about never overreacting to the previous week one way or another, I look at this, and I think that the Lions may be hard-pressed to try to get any kind of a rushing attack going against Chicago. That's one thing they've been pretty good at thus far on clamping down at. The Bears look to have a more balanced offense in this one to me. And, again, certain games at this point in time say a lot about how you have the team slotted. I have Chicago slotted as being better than Detroit in this division here, and I think they can really emphatically prove that with a win. They're in a lot of people's top 5 in the power rankings in the league right now, myself included. I'll take the Bears with the 2.5 points on the road at Detroit.
I'm not as high on the Bears, I think, as you. But they look like a playoff team. Jay Cutler has looked pretty darn good. in these first three games, at least, you know, the last two and a half. He was a little suspect in that first half against Cincinnati. But he's looked real good, and, you know, without Lovie Smith, you know, the big question was, are they still going to be able to force turnovers? Because that was their hallmark under Smith, and it's, so far it's been no problem. They forced 11 through three games. They were plus five in turnovers last week, which was the difference against the Steelers. But 2.5 is kind of a attractive number for a home team. And these teams, yes, I view the Bears as slightly better, which is why you're able to get Detroit under three. But I don't know. I don't have a good – this is a total stay-away game for me. I think these teams are pretty even overall. The Bears, I agree with you. I'm a little higher on them. They'll finish probably with a better record. But the Lions, I think, are going to be an 8-8 or 9-7 team. I really think, you know, last year was a worst-case scenario for them. So this game's going to be really close. Chicago, remember, kind of needed need rallies in the second half to win their first two games at home against Cincinnati and Minnesota. Last week they were kind of gifted 40 points by the Steelers with just some very, very poor play by Ben Roethlisberger. So I'm staying away from this game. I'm not quite convinced that Chicago can go in and win a division road game outright.
Can't blame you at all on this one. There's not a whole lot separating these two teams, hence the point spread in it. Next up here, an illustration, maybe, if it goes a certain way, that this is an 8-8 league, although you wouldn't know it to look at the records thus far. The 0-3 Giants at the 3-0 Chiefs, and Kansas City is laying 5 in this one, up from 4 initially. I just keep coming back to, again, and the Giants let me down last week on one of my big plays, thought that they couldn't continue their skid against Carolina, and they did. I keep coming back to this. I'm not overreacting. The Giants nowhere near as bad as what we've seen thus far. The Chiefs, I'm not going to say nowhere near as good, but not as good. The Chiefs are not a legitimate Super Bowl contender, I don't believe, and they've arguably played like one to this point. I don't know if the Giants can win outright, but I love them getting the 5 on the road. This is a number that at the beginning of the year probably would have been, what, maybe a touchdown the other way? So
I don't know about a touchdown. The Giants probably would have been a road favorite, probably. You know, the Chiefs, it's not
going to be. That's what I'm saying, like 1 or 2. You add 6 points onto that. Yeah, I mean, I think that's likely. They would have been maybe in a narrow road favorite. I love the 5 under the circumstances.
So do I. This is the first of my what's going to be 4 recommended plays for me this week. Look, nothing that we've seen in the last 3 weeks justifies the Giants here. I'm just with you. I don't think they're as bad as they've looked. I don't think the Chiefs are quite as good. And, oh, by the way, the Chiefs can still lose this game outright, and they're still going to finish with a good record, Ricky. I'm telling you, I looked at the schedule. They're going to probably win 10 or 11 games and be the top wild card of the AFC, and they'll be a little overrated. You're right with what you said. I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender, but they're a definite playoff team, win, lose, or draw here. And I just think the Giants have to win. Turnovers are the key. By the way, I mean, the Giants have 13 of them in 3 games. The Chiefs have not committed any. So if the Giants can take care of the ball, and I know that's a little harder when you can't run it, but still, like I said, Kansas City 0-6, the last 6 times they've been a home favorite. So take the points with the Giants. I just think they're due. It's not based on anything the last 3 weeks. Just take the Giants, and, you know, hopefully these two teams even out a little bit.
That makes all the sense in the world because, again, if it's an 8-8 league, you look for the Giants to win this one, get the 1-3, and Kansas City, conversely, to fall 3-1. Like I said, not sure the Giants can win, but under the circumstances, love them with the points and agree with you strongly. Next up, 2 surprising teams in this one. It is the Jets at Tennessee. The Titans are laying 4, down from 5 initially. And, again, both of these teams, you and I both thought, admittedly, would be on the slag heap of the NFL. They've both proved an awful lot to us, largely because the defenses on both sides have been better. Better quarterback play as well than we certainly would have anticipated from Jake Locker and from Geno Smith thus far. In the end, what this one comes down to for me is, can the Jets with Geno Smith go win a game like this on the road? If Tennessee was as bad as we thought they would be coming in and the Jets were 2-1, I might not look askance at it, but I do under the circumstances. The Jets still have to prove to me they can win a game like this. Tennessee being at home, I think, is what gives them certainly the overwhelming edge in my mind. Tennessee laying the 4 at home, I like it.
This is a total stay-away game for me because both teams have certainly overachieved my expectations. Coming into the year, I would have said the Jets probably have one win. You know, I would have probably given them the nod last week against Buffalo to at least win that game straight up. And then Tennessee, I also would have said they would probably have one win. That's why coming last week, and they did, in fact, beat San Diego 20-17. You mentioned the defenses. The Jets, I expected to have a good defense coming into the year, and they have been every good bit as good as advertised. Tennessee has been a major shock. This team gave up more points than anyone last year in the entire NFL. Jets 3-0 against the spread so far, so that's a telltale sign they'll probably do not to cover. But I don't want to lay points with Tennessee. And another reason that I'm just kind of just nervous about this game altogether is the Jets offense. Let's not go heaping too much praise on Geno Smith just yet, Ricky. I saw a stat that the Jets are fourth worst in the league in terms of number of plays per drive. The only three teams below them are all winless. So the Jets offense, a bit of an overachiever. I know they put up 27 last week, but that was at home against Buffalo. Totally staying away from this game. I just don't have a very good read, to be honest with you, on these two teams yet. I think one or maybe both are going to overachieve what my expectations were. So I'm going to let it play out. I'm going to watch them a little more closely the next couple weeks.
Excellent statistical nugget there on the Jets, the kind of thing that people have come to expect from you, Kyle Ross. Very well done. You talk about not having a good handle on the teams. Ironically, that kind of takes us into the next game where I could say that. I referenced my boy Kenny Albert before. I thought he should have been on what I consider to be a much bigger game in Houston. He is instead going to be in San Diego. Kenny Albert, four-time lounge guest, Daryl Johnston and Tony Siragusa on this one on Fox. It's Dallas at San Diego. The Cowboys are laying 2 up from 1 initially. This was very, very difficult for me to get a read on.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it's been so easy to pass on San Diego thus far this season, and Dallas has had such success thus far with their vertical game. A lot of that comes from, by the way, and maybe this goes to why I'm going to make the pick I'm going to make, since this is one of those rare windows where DeMarco Murray is healthy, same point in time that Darren McFadden's been healthy. Both of those guys healthy for multiple games in a row. How do you defend Dallas? It makes it very, very difficult when you can't cheat against the run or the pass. I mean, as soon as Murray goes down like he always does, it may be a different story. But for right now, I just think Dallas has got too much offensively for the Chargers. I like them laying the 2 at San Diego.
I'm with you. This, along with probably, the last game, Tennessee Jets, and then that Detroit-Chicago game, are just the games that I just am kind of scratching my head and can't pick a side. No way. Dallas is 3-0 against the spread and a very modest road favorite. So you'd think San Diego is a sharp side, but, you know, not taking 3, maybe if it gets up that high, you might want to consider a look at the Chargers. But I don't, you know, coming here, I didn't like the Chargers at all. And I'll tell you what, I watched, you know, a good deal of that first half. I referenced it earlier when we talked about the Rams. Dallas destroyed the St. Louis. How about you say something nice about the Dallas Cowboys for a change? Because they destroyed the Rams last week. Dallas honestly looked as good as they have since the T.O. year with Tony, the year that they had home field advantage in the NFC. They looked unbelievable. You referenced Murray. He had like 180 yards through three quarters. The Dallas Cowboys may very well wind up winning this NFC East, Rick Morris. I don't know if they're going to win this game, but I think they're going to win the NFC East right now. If you put me on the spot and ask me, I think it's going to be them.
I would agree, but you would have to agree, in fairness, it would be every bit as much by default as anything else. Look at the other three teams in that division right now.
Yeah, I mean, you got the 2-0-3 teams. You know, history says that 0-3 teams do not come back to make the playoffs. I think it's only happened 3 of the last 115 times. So the Giants and Redskins are then out. And then you have the 1-2 Eagles who have 3 road games upcoming. One of them, I know we're going to talk about here pretty soon, at Denver. So they're going to be in an early hole too. So it's funny. I kind of peeked ahead and, you know, there's nothing really lamer than, you know, trying to, you know, go through a team schedule. Oh, this will be a win. This will be a loss. You can't do that, you know, 2 months down the road. But the way I was looking at the schedule, I of course did it anyway. And I think Dallas is going to get out to a nice lead in the division early and then hold on. It's going to come down to that last week when they play Philadelphia. So I think that game could be for the division. We always see Dallas, it seems, you know, last week of the year in a game, you know, either to get in the playoffs or to win the division. They usually fail. It'll be interesting to see how it works out this year. But Romo looks great. The Cowboys look great. I'll be honest with you. This could be
You'd
a classic
have to agree,
Cowboys
Kyle.
Letdown, though. It could be a classic Cowboys letdown game, though.
If they're going to do it, you'd have to agree. They're going to need a pretty good pad in the month of December playing how they always do in December. I think we could agree on that. I would hope so anyway.
Well, Tony Romo always does well in November, though, keep in mind. He's always very good in November. But, yeah, it's that December-January thing that's always kind of given them trouble.
It is problematic for them. Speaking of Januaries, Washington is going to try this weekend to avenge a January Super Bowl loss of about three decades ago to the Raiders.
Wow, you're reaching there, buddy. They got bigger problems than revenge. They got bigger problems for revenge from the Marcus Allen Super Bowl right now, I'll say that.
Well, I think Joe Theismann thinks there's nothing more important than them avenging his Super Bowl loss.
Oh,
but then again,
yeah,
he's kind of a singularly egocentric.
He's got bigger problems. He's got bigger problems. He gets up to pee three times a night, remember? Have you seen those commercials?
Yeah, true that.
He's got bigger problems than Super Bowl losses.
Admitting that is even worse than an embarrassing Super Bowl pick six interception.
Do you think it's because he sees Lawrence Taylor in his sleep?
Yeah.
Is that why? If I was him, I'd probably pee three times a night too.
Yeah. Pop, pop, pop goes the tibia. But the Redskins 0-3, Raiders 1-2, and the Redskins are laying 3.5 in this one, but it opened, I believe, 3 the other way. What accounts for the line movement?
Now,
is that the Sharps?
No, I think that was – I don't think it did, unless that there was –
Okay.
All right,
maybe I read that wrong.
No. Yeah, well, I think there might have been a misprint. I was pretty sure it was like 3.5 flat the whole time.
Okay, all right, then it stayed pretty steady if I read that wrong. But, yeah, I mean, I still like Washington even if that wasn't the case.
Yeah, well, it's funny. What I'm surprised at is that the line hasn't skyrocketed after the announcement that Pryor's not starting and Matt Flynn's going to get the go. It was funny when I typed this and full disclosure, this will be my second of four recommended plays this week. A rare sound the alarm road favorite for me, taking Washington here. When I typed that to you, I was like, oh crap, I better double check the line because I got them at 3.5. I love the map, but I was like, oh, you know, I bet you that line got steamed up, and I'm surprised that it hasn't. It's even 3 in some books right now. Go with the Redskins. They've got to win. I know that defense is bad, but the Raiders do not have the offense to take advantage. And here's something I never thought I would be saying during the 2013 NFL season. The Oakland Raiders could be overrated.
Yeah, they're not even going to have Terrell Pryor this week.
I mean, that's the big thing. I mean, Pryor looks actually pretty good. Surprise, surprise. Matt Flynn, no one has ever said he looked good. I know he had that one garbage game, I think it was like week 17 against the Lions a couple years ago when he was Aaron Rodgers' backup. But, you know, I don't trust Matt Flynn even at home. Washington's desperate
right.
for a win. Oakland, short week, and, you know, praise the Raiders. They did get through the back door for me on Monday night, catching a generous 16.5. They referenced it on SportsCenter there were some people that certainly cared about that garbage time touchdown they scored after Denver fumbled. I was one of them, but short week, Matt Flynn, no thank you, Oakland. Washington gets their first win of the year, and I think they win pretty comfortably.
I would agree with that. The aforementioned Broncos, 3-0, hosting Philadelphia, 1-2. On Sunday, it's the lead game on Fox, the Buck Aikman and lovely Pam Oliver team on the call for this one. 11.5 is the number for Denver, up from 10.5 at the outset. You feel like it's about due for things to start going against Denver a little bit, that they can't look like as much of a juggernaut as it looked like through three games. This just doesn't look like the spot. And when you factor in how good they've been against the run, and Philadelphia trying to run that offense at high altitude, this could get pretty ugly. I'm not wild about the spot of 11.5, but I would still weigh it and take the Broncos.
See, I would definitely take the points here were it not for the fact that you know you referenced, I'm sure that this will be the national game in the 4 o'clock slot that you know most of the country gets, us included. And if there's one thing I learned from watching Monday Night Football last week, it's taking points against the Broncos right now, no matter how many, makes for a miserable viewing experience. I mean, this team is firing on all cylinders. Peyton Manning is just devastating at this point. I mean, they put up 49, 41, and 37 points. The Eagles do not have a good defense. Mike Vick, by the way, it's funny people want to jump on Chip Kelly. Oh, how's that offense going now? The answer would be fantastic if it wasn't for the fact that Mike Vick turns the ball over too much.
Right.
So don't. I would take the points here if not for the fact that it'd be such a miserable viewing experience. And I'm just not ready to start bucking the Broncos here. So I think the Eagles plus the points are the right side, but I'm not recommending it.
I understand that. I agree with everything that you're saying there. Next up, the Sunday night game, 3-0 Pats at the 1-2 Falcons. Atlanta is laying 2.5 up from a pick at the start. Were it not for the fact that Atlanta has a lot of injuries, not major ones, but just being dinged up at the skill positions here between Steven Jackson, Julio Jones, Roddy White, this would have been one of my recommended plays for the week going with the Falcons. This is a bounce-back game. It's one that they need. The Patriots are one of the worst 3-0 teams in recent NFL history. Atlanta is still going to be my pick, weighing the 2.5. It just won't be one of my big three for the reasons that I've mentioned there. They are vulnerable at the skill positions offensively, not being 100% healthy. But Sunday night, in a must-win game for them to keep from getting in a deep hole in the NFC South, I think they're going to find a way.
This is a recommended play for me. I got down on it immediately as soon as Atlanta lost last week. And because as we talked about in week two, when Atlanta played St. Louis, the Falcons are incredible off a loss under Mike Smith. They are 19-5 against the spread, off a loss 22-3 straight up. So there's probably a push in there then because those games, there wouldn't be a push in there. 22-3 is 25, 19-5 is 24. Yeah, there would be. So they're 19-5-1 against the spread off a loss under Smith, 22-3. Straight up. I got down very quickly. I got them actually at that pick'em range. I'm a little discouraged that the line's gone up. Belichick is 39-19 as a dog, as the coach of the Patriots. But still, Atlanta in their home, they're a much better team than they are on the road. And New England, as you mentioned, a shaky 3-0. I know they dominated Tampa Bay. They kind of looked like the old New England last week, but you know, that Tampa Bay situation, as we talked about a week ago, a little toxic. So I think the Falcons bounce back. They have trouble closing games. I don't think this is a playoff team, but I do think they get the win this week. I'm kind of turning on the Falcons even more than I usually do.
And those are interesting statistics that you cited in their defense, in their support for this week. The Monday night game. The 3-0 Dolphins, can't even believe I'm saying that about my fish, at the 3-0 Saints. New Orleans is laying 6.5 up from 5 at the outset. I look at this again, not all 3-0 teams are created equal. I look at this, and again, I certainly believe that the Saints' defense is overvalued at this point, but I think the Dolphins, sadly, are an overvalued proposition themselves. I wanted to take the 6.5. I wanted to find a reason. It seems like a lot for them to be getting under the circumstances. But again, I think that reflects the smart money's infatuation and justifiably so with how the Saints are playing right about now. I would lay the 6.5 and take the Saints Monday night.
My fourth of four recommended plays this week to go along with the Giants, Redskins, and Falcons will be the New Orleans Saints. They're laying less than 7 at home. Bottom line, they're 10-1. The last 11 times it's happened. They're 15-4 their last 19 games at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And you know, I completely agree with you. The records might be the same, but the Saints are the better team. This was a team, as you know, I was higher on than just about anybody, Ricky, coming into the year. And it's funny, just real quick, I'm going to blow through this because I didn't do it at the beginning. Last week was a real shocker in that the AFC dominated the NFC. You and I spoke at great length how much better we thought the NFC was at the start of the year than the AFC. They dominated the AFC in non-conference games last year. But so that was just another shocking part of week three, as far as I'm concerned, the AFC's domination over the NFC. So, you know, the Saints, I think at home, they win. And why don't you say something nice about Rob Ryan's defense, which, oh, by the way, has only given up 38 points in three games.
Rob Ryan's defense has played well over the level of what they will accomplish the rest of the year. Is that a nice backhanded compliment from me?
Well, I'll tell you what, man. You just don't want to say anything nice about the Saints. Oh, here's the other point I wanted to make. I'm sorry, you know me. I forget things. But can you imagine if Seattle and New Orleans wind up being the top two teams in the NFC? How brutal will it be for the other four for the road to the Super Bowl to go through those two venues? Who's going to win in those two places back-to-back weeks?
Yeah. Oh, that would be just awful.
Yeah, no
that
one.
Would be
I mean,
miserable
home field advantage. Yeah, home field advantage doesn't matter as much as it used to in the NFL, but if Seattle and New Orleans were 1-2 in the NFC, it certainly would. So, you know,
if the 49ers have their act together, and there's no reason to believe they won't by the end of the season, they could be a tough enough team to try to pull off something like that. Anybody else? No. Certainly not the Crystal Dallas Cowboys or anybody else having the fortitude. We saw what happened last year to Dallas when they went up to Seattle. It would probably be more of the same. All right, time for my big three picks. We may have to blow through these a little bit here in our remaining time. First up, and again, a little bit of desperation for me as far as a real crisis of confidence. I had trouble even settling on three games this week. I generally don't like to take a game that involves two crap teams, but I have to do that under these circumstances. The 1-2 Cardinals at the 0-3 Bucks. Tampa Bay laying 2.5, notwithstanding the quarterback change that they made, which doesn't seem to have much affected the line thus far as we speak in this one. I'm wary about playing a rookie quarterback. I just go back to, again, I don't think Arizona's good enough to win on the road. I really don't under the circumstances. And, again, Tampa Bay's got to win at least a few. I don't see them going to like 2-14. And they got 2-14 written all over them if they can't win a game like this. They hate the coach, but even under toxic circumstances, once in a while, there's a rally round kind of effect. Tampa Bay at home in what is beyond a desperation circumstance, because their season's probably already gone. I do like Tampa Bay to cover the 2.5 in the first of my big three.
I agree with you. I think it's similar to the Browns last week. It's kind of a circle the wagons game. I mean, if Tampa Bay were to lose here, I mean, what do you do? Just not show up in week five? I mean, it would be really bad. I mean, and plus, this almost got a recommendation for me. I'll be honest with you. It was only because I'm still trying to figure out why the Sharps in Vegas like Arizona so much. I'm still trying to dig deep into that for answers. So, not just for this game. I mean, in general, they like them. I mean, they got walloped last week by New Orleans. So, I don't share that love for Arizona. I think Tampa Bay gets off the shot here.
That could be one of the mysteries of the universe. Yeah, why Vegas would be infatuated with Arizona. But then again, Vegas dictated that San Francisco should be laying double digits last week to Indianapolis.
They just said that to trick idiots like us, though. So,
Well, mission accomplished on their part. Again, as much as I hate to do a thing with two crap teams, that's one of my hard and fast rules, but I guess my start to the season is proving that I need to abandon those principles. Two teams with no wins between them, the 0-3 Steelers versus the 0-3 Vikings at Wembley Stadium. You could say Big Ben meets Big Ben in this one here. Nansen Sims is going to be on the call from London.
How many of those references are we going to get? I bet you we'll get a tape broken down by Phil Sims, which will, of course, induce vomiting across the country, on both sides of the pond. On both sides of the pond.
But talk like that, Kyle, you're not going to qualify for this year's All-Iron team.
Good. Next time Phil Sims confronts my main man Desmond Howard, I got Desmond back, okay? It'll be 2-on-1.
Nice.
Bring his two brat kids with him, too. I'll beat them up, too.
Oh, that would be awesome. I'll look forward to seeing that. The Squealers are laying 2.5 here, up from a pick at the outset. Again, there is little to like about either team. Pittsburgh has had a hard time running the football, although Minnesota has not necessarily been the hardest team in the league to run against. Look at what the Browns did last week on the rare occasions they actually bothered to try to run the ball. Minnesota's secondary is just the worst. If Ben Roethlisberger is ever going to have a get-well game, this is going to be it. My guess is that Minnesota outsucks Pittsburgh in this one, that Roethlisberger is going to have a 400-yard-plus game, and that Minnesota, we go back to old Super Bowls, Minnesota will be unable to avenge Super Bowl IX in this one. I'll take the Steelers in the neutral site game.
Yeah, well, we're a long way from Super Bowl IX here. You know, it's funny. I see where you're going, and Minnesota was a team that we expected to regress before the year. Pittsburgh is a team that I thought would actually be better than last year. But the problem here is, number one, I don't like getting involved in these London games. And two, pretty much every argument that you can be made for the Steelers can also be made for the Vikings. The Steelers have just looked awful. And so I can't get behind them. I know the Giants are a recommended play, and they've looked awful. But, you know, I mean, that's more of kind of a regression to the mean, playing a 3-0 team. I'm just kind of banking on the league evening out. Here, you know, it's just two teams in a similar situation. The league
right.
is like a pick 'em, and it's, you know, in a weird neutral setting. No, thank you.
Understood. We're close to being out of time here. We're just in time for my 1,000-star gold-plated Lock of the Millennium for NFL Week 4. 2-1 Baltimore at 1-2 Buffalo. The Ravens are laying 3 on the road, down from 4 initially. It's the return of road favorite Ricky.
This is the strategy you need to abandon. That's the strategy you need to abandon.
Well, look, in the last 2 years of doing the show with you, it hasn't bitten me disproportionately. There are other reasons to point to my 0-9 Schneid, and when I figure out what they are, I'll let you know. I don't know that road favorite Ricky is a big reason for that. Under the circumstances, I just feel like Buffalo is due for a letdown. I know they didn't win the game last week, but there's a lot of air in this E.J. Manuel balloon, and look out. Baltimore is back. They're not what they were last year, but they're much better, even defensively, than we thought they were going to be, even possibly without Ray Rice. I still like them by a decent margin at Buffalo.
I can't get excited about either side here at all. I'm laying off this one. I'm a little surprised this is your big one. I'm not as big on the Ravens, I don't think, as you are, it sounds like. I think they could certainly win this game, and, you know, I mean, given the spread so low, a win would probably be a cover, but it could be close. I think this one, I like E.J. Manuel. It's amazing that after three starts, E.J. Manuel, Terrell Pryor, and Geno Smith, all better than Brandon Weed, by the way, just to return to our Browns discussion of last week.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, again, I wouldn't have been surprised at Blaine Gabbert being better than
He's the only one who isn't.
Yeah.
So.
He is. Yeah, I was really struggling to find, like, yeah, who would have been the biggest surprise? I think it would have been him. Yeah, it just, again, Baltimore, what they did, I didn't think they would beat Houston last week. They really opened my eyes. They came out strong. So, yeah, that's my lock pick, my other big three plays, Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay. Your recommended plays for the week?
The Giants, Redskins, Atlanta, New Orleans.
Redskins. Yes, okay. All right, so those are your recommended plays for the week, and we'll see. We're due to bounce back, Kyle. I'm certain that we are in NFL Week 4, and the people will profit by jumping on us at this particular point in time.
They sure will.
All right, buddy. Thanks very much. Talk to you next week. Thank you all for tuning in to FBH Lounge, mini episode 316, where we open up a can of whoop-ass on the NFL.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.